Oh, Jesus' name. God is good. If you turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 20, that's going to be our text for tonight. When I was praying last night and today, I felt one direction, and then I felt like God told me to turn some stuff around, so we're going to do this. The scripture says, "And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they had spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet." Put down your Bibles. Let's go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God. Thank you for what you're going to do in this place tonight. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Come on, let there be a sound of worship and a prayer right now. Lift up your voice to him. Oh, you're so good, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray for every person here tonight. I pray that you would touch their hearts, God, that they would receive the message right now into their spirits, Lord. Touch me, God. Give me strength to preach the way you want me to, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You may be seated in the house tonight. Tonight we're going to be preaching, "What is your legacy?" What is your legacy? We're going to back up a few chapters in another book into 1 Kings chapter 19. If you were to look there in verse 19, it says, "So he departed thence," he being Elijah, "and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle on him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?'" What are you doing, Elisha? You see, this is our introduction to a young man by the name of Elisha. Just now a young man, a farmer. But let me update you on the previous few chapters. You see, this is not the first time his name is mentioned in the Bible. You go back into Elijah's story. You have the showdown at Mount Carmel. The rain came back after 3 years in much of Elijah's prayers. All the prophets of the false gods had been killed under the direction of Elijah. Jezebel threatened Elijah's life, and then he runs with nowhere in mind. He just runs. I preached a message a little bit ago about this time in Elijah's life before. If you're curious and want to learn more, you can go back and listen to that message or dig into the story yourself in the Bible. It's also on our podcast. Chapter 19 records God talking to Elijah at his lowest point, and he tells Elijah to do three things. The first thing was to go home, but he was to take a detour and to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. The second was to anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. The third was to anoint Elisha to be the next prophet in Israel, to take Elijah's stead when Elijah was up and gone. You see, this is our first mention of the soon-to-be a new prophet. This brings us closer to our text tonight. You might be wondering how the title will fit in, but before you try to just make sense of it, it's going to make sense in a little bit. So just bear with me for a few minutes. I don't intend to be long tonight. Elisha is in a period of waiting at this time. You see, he's in training, if you will. There is at least 5 years between the time where Elijah comes up to Elisha and throws the mantle over his shoulder versus the time where Elisha actually becomes a prophet. Most historians say it's probably between 5 and 6 years, but there's at least 5 years in this waiting time. During these 5 years, he's following his man of God, Elijah, and learning what he needs to do. I can imagine during this time that he truly begins to learn how to pray. He learns what the voice of God sounds like, what it feels to operate in the Spirit of God, what spiritual disciplines are and why they are necessary for us. He watches as Elijah prophesies over King Ahab and Jezebel and tells them how they're going to die. He watches as Elijah goes to the messengers of the king of Samaria and tells them that they should have just gone to the God of Israel rather than the false gods. If you read the story, if you read that story in 2 Kings chapter 1, you're going to find the king of Samaria, of another country, knows who Elijah is and recognizes him by just a description. But there is another message for another time. Elisha watches as Elijah is transported into heaven by a fiery chariot. And Elisha prayed, and God answered that prayer by giving Elisha a double portion of Elijah's spirit. 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 14. This is where Elisha is actually asking God for confirmation of the double portion. And it says, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell on him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over on dry ground. You see, when I say the name of Elisha, you probably think of a few different miracles. You might think of the account of Naaman and his leprosy. Or maybe you think of the miracle the axe had floating back to the surface of the water. Or maybe it's the account of the Shunammite woman who was prophesied that she was going to have a baby. And she did, and then a few years later, that baby died as just a young man. But Elijah prayed, and that young man got back to life. Or maybe you think of another miracle where they were making dinner, and the pottage had poison in it. But Elijah said, hey, just put meal in it. It's going to be fine. Yeah. Let me pause here in our account of Elisha and just give you a definition of the word legacy for some of you. Webster defines legacy as something received from an ancestor or a predecessor from the past. We see this in scripture as we read of the story of Joshua and of other important Bible heroes that we often think of. We see it in the story of Elijah and Elisha. Elisha picked up on some things from Elijah he carried over into his own ministry. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8, we find the account of Syria warring against Israel. The man of God, Elisha, kept sending information to the king of Israel during this time of where the enemy was and that sort of thing. The king of Syria was not happy about this at all because his troops kept getting destroyed. And he actually called his own servants into his throne room and said, what's going on? Who's of you for the enemy? Which one of you is sending information over to them? And the servants reply that it's none of them but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. The king finds Elisha, then orders his army to surround the man of God. You all know the story of how Elijah's servant woke up and saw the army and thought they were all goners. But then Elisha prayed for God to open that young man's eyes because he said there was more for them than against them. For the next several years, Elisha was a prophet in Israel who worked miracle after miracle. God kept using him. Even after he died, as we see at the end of chapter 13, this brings us to our text tonight. You see, Elijah's story did not end with his transportation into heaven. It continued with Elisha. Elisha's story did not end at death, but rather kept going at the end of his ministry. I was asked yesterday afternoon if I would preach today, and to be honest, I had no idea what I was going to preach. So I came here, and I started praying. I said, God, I'm not leaving here until I get something to preach off of. And he just dropped the word legacy into my mind and my spirit. And he also reminded me of the story of Korah. I wasn't sure if I was going to go here tonight. You see, when we think of the story of Korah, we often think of three key leaders, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. But if you read the story, there is one more leader in the story. A man by the name of On. It was Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On. You see, when they first rose up against Moses and brought all these complaints, between that initial uprising and their death, they had 2 days to think about what they were doing. At the end of the first day, God had one test, and some of them didn't show up to it. And then on the second day, On didn't show up. You see, On is not mentioned with Korah, Dathan, Abiram, as the ground opened up and swallowed these men. I cannot help but read between the lines here. I cannot help but think that On did not die because he repented and recanted what he said and believed at that time. I believe he did this because he surrounded himself with those like his family and close friends who weren't afraid to tell him that what he was doing was wrong. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram died along with their families, except for Korah's kids, because Korah's kids knew that rising up against the man of God was wrong. But you see, after that first initial mention of the name of On in Numbers chapter 16 and verse 1, he's never mentioned again in Scripture. We're about to have altar call in a few minutes, and I want you to know you have three options tonight. I'm going to be pretty bold here and tell you that I'm preaching for your response here in the next few minutes. And not just in the next few minutes, but also after everyone leaves and the lights go off, when we're all home and alone, I'm preaching for your response when you go back to your workplaces. I'm preaching for your response at those times. Amen. There's three options you can do tonight. One, you can pray and truly pray and not stop until something breaks in your life. You see, some of you have come with baggage from the world. It's hanging all over you. And you can keep that if you want. Some of you are going to take me up on that, and God's going to take care of that baggage. Others are just going to pray enough until maybe one or two of those things on their load comes off. Just enough to make the man of God think nothing's wrong. And that's the story of On. He did just enough to get by, and he's never mentioned again in Scripture. Yeah. Or, on the third option, you can do like Korah. You can sit back and do your own thing, and you could be lost for all of eternity. Right. I know I'm being pretty bold, and it's getting heavy in the house tonight. You see, God is calling everyone under the sound of my voice to a place of prayer where he can speak and use you, where he can talk to you about what your calling is and what the anointing on your life is. If you don't want that, that's okay. We're not going to push you. We're not going to shove you into it. Amen. While I was praying, I felt God told me that someone under the sound of my voice has walked through a new door. It was getting ready to walk through a new door, and after they did, they would never be able to go back. You see, that door's getting ready to close, and if you don't walk through it, that's your last chance. This is going to be some of your guys' last chance to ever use that calling and anointing on your life. And I felt another thing in prayer. I felt like somebody under the sound of my voice wanted to be used completely of God. I don't know who it is. I don't know where you are. But God wants you to know. He wants to use you. He wants to tell you things and talk to you in prayer when you're at home alone and you're the only one in your family who wants to be saved. He wants to talk to you. But he wants you to know that it's got to start small. You don't despise the small things. He wants some of you to just clean a bathroom and teach Bible studies. That's it. And then he's going to reveal some other stuff to you during that time that's going to prepare you for later on in life. I'm almost done. What is your legacy going to be? Are you going to be known for prayer and being a soul winner? Are those kids who look up to you without you even knowing it going to remember you because you were a worshiper in the altar? Are they going to remember you when they go home alone and are the only one in their families while their mom and dad are doing drugs and alcohol is running the family and depression hits? Are they going to remember you in the altars praying and worshiping and calling on the name of God? Or are you going to be forgotten in their life because you decided not to fulfill the calling on your life? Because you don't want to give anything up. Because God wants you to know he's ready to use you, but you have to give up some of the stuff in your life. I'm going to turn this service over to Pastor, and whatever he feels is good, and that's what's going to happen. But if you feel the need to pray at all, anytime during the rest of this service or any other service, I want you to know this altar's open and it's ready for you.
The event in the life of Elijah where God reveals to him the next steps. He's running for his life, hiding in a mountain, depressed, and he wants to die. We could, yeah. He was done. He was tired. He was burnt out. Ready to give up, ready to give in, feeling like the only one that was living for God. And the mountain quakes, literally shakes. There's an earthquake. There's a whirlwind. But the Bible tells us specifically that God was not in the earthquake. God was not in the whirlwind. Something for you to study on your own then. Did God cause the earthquake? Did God cause the whirlwind? Or was it a spiritual battle for the mind and the soul of the prophet? I don't know. But there was a still small voice. God said, Elijah, what are you doing? He said, God, I'm the only one. He said, no, you're not. But you've isolated yourself. He said, you have to get up. You can't stay where you're at. If you're going to make it, there's going to be some change that's required. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to have to change your surroundings. You may not see how it's going to work right now, but you have to get up. You have to get up. Just like if we were to fast forward to the dead man who was thrown in on the bones of Elisha. He not only came back to life, but he got up. He did not stay in the grave. The grave is the place for the dead, but he was no longer dead. He had to get up. And so Elijah begins speaking with God, and God begins speaking in that still small voice thundering in his world. He said, you're going to go anoint Jehu to be the next king of Israel. So the king of Samaria was the king of Israel. He wasn't a king from a different nation, but the nation of Israel had split, and he was the nation of the northern kingdom of Israel, and their capital city was in Samaria. And so he said, you're going to get up and you're going to anoint Jehu to be the next king. What's he doing? He's showing him the future. Ahab's not going to reign forever. God's going to take care of Ahab and Jezebel. He said, but you're going to go anoint the next political leader, and then you're going to go anoint the next spiritual leader. You're going to go anoint Elisha. And so Elijah gets up and he's got a vision. And we could focus and we could dog Elijah because he was down. But the fact of the matter is, we all get down. And we all need God to speak to us when we're down. We all need to hear God's voice when we're down. We all need to feel the moving of the Spirit when we're down. And when we hear God's voice and when we feel the moving of the Spirit, we need to respond to that. How does Elijah respond? Elijah responds by getting up and moving. Elijah responds by going and anointing Jehu to be the next king over Israel. Elijah responds by walking by the field of Elisha's family and seeing Elisha and throwing the mantle on his shoulders, and just the touch of the man of God's mantle and just the touch of the symbolic anointing that carried was enough for him to leave everything behind and to move into ministry and to completely change his surroundings. But here's the problem that I have with Elisha. Elisha follows the man of God for 5 years. Elisha serves the man of God for 5 years. He asks for a double portion. He receives the double portion because he's with the man of God when the man of God leaves the world, leaves the earth. Elijah raised an Elisha. Elisha did not raise the next prophet. What good is a double portion if it dies with you? What good is a double portion if it's just the miracles and there's not a continuing legacy after that? I believe that is where Elisha erred? Do I believe that he was condemned to hell for that? No, I don't believe that. But what could have happened? And we'd have to go and we'd have to study the history of it to find out what happened after the death of Elisha. But I don't want the work of God to end when I leave this earth. I don't want my family to be lost when I leave this earth. I don't want my impact, the impact of what God is going to do in my life and through my life, to just end. So I want us to stand tonight. You say, well, Pastor, my family this or my family that. Brother Isaiah mentioned the Korah. Go do some research and find out how many Psalms were written by a group of individuals called the Sons of Korah. The song of your parents doesn't have to be your song.
That's right.
Korah was literally swallowed in the earth. Literally, the earth opened and swallowed him in the book of Exodus. But his children had stood back and said, no, we're not singing that song. And through that, the sons of Korah were used with David and by David to create songs of worship to God. I want us to find a place to pray, and I want God to move in our lives, and I want God to work in our spirits tonight. Why don't we just find a place to pray and say, God, I want you to help me to become the man or the woman that you have called me to be. God, I want you to work in my life. I want you to work in my family. I don't want to just fall off the wagon. I don't want my ministry to end after I'm dead and gone. But God, I want to leave a legacy of truth. I want to leave a legacy of righteousness. I want to leave a legacy of hope and faith and kingdom building. God, help me to be everything that you've called me to be. God, help me to work in your kingdom and for your kingdom. Help me to make disciples in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Why don't you cry out to him tonight? Cry out to him tonight. Something happened.